Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Again, let's get right to the interview. Here is NDP candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South, Kim MacArthur-Jackson. I'm so pleased to have with me today, Kim MacArthur-Jackson, the candidate for the NDP in Northumberland Peterborough South. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to speak with you again.
Let's jump right in. Why did it take so long for you to be selected as a candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South?
Actually, that's kind of funny. There was a bit of a misconception that it took a while, but what had actually happened was I was already in the vetting process when everything came down. And because the writ was dropped so quickly, of course, they were in the process of vetting quite a lot of candidates. So it ended up taking a bit longer to finish that vetting process. I was already in the works to be the candidate. We just had to get that official go ahead before we could actually announce it. I completely agree. And that's the feeling that I'm getting when I'm talking to people as well. There's a lot of people that are really frustrated right now. First and foremost, they're frustrated that we are having an election in, you know, the beginning of a fourth wave of a pandemic. To a lot of people, it just seems very irresponsible, kind of selfish on the part of the current reigning party. And I can't say that I disagree with that. It's pretty obvious why the election was called. But there's also very much a feeling of people are ready for change. They're not happy with how things are going. They're not happy with the response that we've had to the pandemic. They're not happy about the fact that the Liberal Party did break a lot of promises. You know, we're going into an election that we weren't supposed to be having under the first past the post system, and yet here we are. So I think there definitely is a lot of people looking at this particular election with a much more critical eye and really focusing on what they're expecting from their candidates and what they're expecting from their government. And I think we may see a big change because of that.
I'd like to come back to that a little bit later, but just to move on, I'd like you to talk about you a little bit right now. First of all, why did you decide to run?
I've been involved in, not directly involved in politics, but involved in activism. You know, it's very near and dear to my heart to try and, you know, draw attention to and to help, especially with situations where people are being marginalized and, you know, maybe aren't being paid attention to. Poverty is a huge issue. Housing right now is an incredibly problematic issues, you know, not only in our riding, in all ridings, but I know it's something that's a big problem around here. And, you know, as much as I'm trying to draw attention to these issues and I'm trying to do what I can, I finally came to the realization that it's not enough. I need to do more. I need to find a way that I can actually try and make change. And a big way to be able to do that is by representing the people of our riding in Ottawa.
I'd like to shift now and start to talk to you about your party's platform. Your party platform says you want to address affordable housing, something that is a crisis in Northumberland. Your party offers to build 500,000 units of affordable housing and to give immediate relief to renters who need it. The county has a 10-year waiting list for affordable housing, and it has had this for decades in the face of multiple initiatives by the county and others. How is this plan that your party is offering going to change this in a substantial way? In other words, move this needle, because stuff is already being done, stuff is being worked on very hard, and yet this doesn't change. So what is your platform going to do that's going to significantly change this?
Well, one of the things that we want to do is work with, of course, municipalities and the provincial governments as well in getting this stuff moving. Like you said, it's something that's been, you know, talked about and been in process for quite some time, but nothing has actually happened. So there's a lot of resources that we can put forth to make these things begin to happen, like, you know, putting startup funds out there so that things can get moving, you know, using our resources like underused federal properties or unused federal properties to be able to help with that.
There are already initiatives and people are working hard at this. I don't want to take away from the efforts of the county or the municipalities or developers in trying to do stuff. But, you know, you're talking about 500,000 units. So let's be specific. Over what period of time are we going to develop 500,000 units?
The idea is to develop the 500,000 units over a 10-year timeframe, with having a minimum of 250,000 units in place within 5 years.
Okay. Now, with a population as big as Canada, and all the time it seems to be the major urban centers seem to get the attention, what is going to draw people's attention to Northumberland and, again, help with this systemic problem?
And the short answer is me. That's exactly what I want to do, is be that person that's there advocating for our riding and drawing attention to the very real problems that we have here. We have an incredibly shortage of housing in this area. I hear people talking about trying to find affordable rentals, and never mind finding affordable rentals, just finding rentals, period, affordable or otherwise, is almost impossible. So when you're trying to do that on a very limited budget because you don't have all kinds of money to throw towards where you're going to live, that makes it even worse. And that's something that is a very big problem in this area. And I would really like the opportunity to be able to address that, because as it stands currently, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, the provincial or municipal governments aren't working on it. I don't want to come across that way at all. I would just like to see a push to be able to move it forward more quickly so that our residents have somewhere that they can go to live.
Okay, forgive me, but you say it's if we elect you, but your predecessors have had the same intentions and have made the same statements. You know, if I talk to any candidate, they're going to say, well, if you send me, I'm the guy or I'm the person that's going to make the difference. So can you give me something specific or make some kind of promise to people that says that, you know, you're going to get action where others have not?
Absolutely. And that's totally fair. I can see where you're coming from there. Absolutely. Because unfortunately, that is the nature of an election. And when you're talking to candidates, everybody is going to say, oh, elect me and I'm going to do everything for you. One thing that I can share, and I think that this really does make a difference. You know, having been in the position, you know, during my younger years, I was a young single mom, you know, working multiple jobs, looking after my kids and, you know, supporting them on my own. So I have a very, very real connection to this problem because I remember what it was like. And back then it was nothing like it is now. Like it was difficult to find affordable housing, but it wasn't impossible. Now it seems to be impossible. And I can't imagine being in that position now that I was in back then, having to try and find somewhere safe for me, my children to live. And because I have that personal connection, I really want to see this change because it's not fair to the people that are living here.
Your party talks about giving Canadians better public services. Your platform proposes to spend more on healthcare, postal services, to stop privatization of public services. How is this not going to become hugely expensive and not push up taxes and become a bloated, inefficient system?
There's a couple different ways that we can definitely look at that. So when it comes to healthcare, for example, if there's one thing we've learned during COVID, it's that we definitely have some drawbacks to our healthcare system. We have shortages. There's a lot of areas that don't have either resources, doctors, nurses, actual equipment, and that sort of thing. And what ends up happening in the long run is that ends up costing the healthcare system a lot more money than it should, because people are using, for example, the emergency room because they don't have a doctor to go to. They have to go to the emergency room. Instead of going to a walk-in clinic, they're going to the emergency room. So putting a lot of these things in place, you know, having more doctors, more resources, more nurses is actually going to lower the cost of a lot of healthcare, because people are going to be able to obtain access to health in a much cheaper manner. For example, one of the things that we want to implement is a really robust virtual healthcare system. Let's be realistic. You don't always need to go to the doctor for every issue that you have. And if we have a good virtual healthcare system where, you know, you can have a meeting like much like this, for example, you know, go through what the issue is, especially if it's something that's a recurring issue, and the doctor knows it's been a recurring issue, they have, you know, that history, that can save a lot of money. So it doesn't necessarily, it may cost more money to implement it initially, but it's going to save money in the long run.
In the last election, the Liberals promised pharmacare, and they said, they say it didn't move forward because the pandemic became the overwhelming priority, and a lot of things that they promised in the last election couldn't be worked on. We watch successive governments make these kinds of promises and then nothing happens. Why should we believe the NDP is going to do anything about pharmacare this time that's different?
Well, for one thing, the NDP doesn't have the history that the other two parties have of making these types of promises and then going back on them. We don't have, obviously, a whole lot of data from a federal standpoint. But when you look at, you know, the various provincial NDP governments that have gone in, they, you know, by and large, they try to make sure that the first thing that they're doing is keeping those promises that they've made during their campaigns. I think there is a very different feel to the NDP than there is to the other parties, in that the overwhelming majority of people who support the NDP, that, you know, run under the NDP, are people that have dealt with the issues that they're talking about. And I think there's a big difference between talking about an issue that you've experienced personally and talking about an experience that your team has told you is something that your constituents want to hear about. When you've experienced it personally, you have far more of a vested interest in making sure that it's addressed, because you've been there, you know how it feels, and you want to help to fix the problem. And that's a huge part of the NDP platform, is trying to fix those problems that we've experienced.
Have you experienced this?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look back at anybody who knows me, if you look back at my entire life, you know, I was a young mother. I had my first daughter when I was very young, and was very, very determined to make sure that I did well for myself and for my child. So I worked multiple jobs. I supported her on my own. So I've dealt with, you know, poverty. Absolutely. I mean, I remember very well making sure that my daughter had really good meals while I was having like a slice of bread with butter or Mr. Noodles, good old Mr. Noodles. I absolutely remember what it was like to go through that, to try to make sure that I was providing as much as possible for my child, and, you know, wanting to do better for her and wanting to improve myself and our life for her so that she could grow up with a better life. And quite honestly, I was able to do that through a lot of hard work. I was able to improve my situation, but a lot of it honestly was also luck. You know, I started working in the banking industry. That was extremely beneficial for me because I was able to learn about how to best support us financially, how to save. You know, it gave me such a good base to be able to work up from. And that's something that the overwhelming majority of people who are living in poverty don't have the opportunity to do. So it's all about giving people opportunities. And what I'm seeing right now is that we're very much starting people off in a deficit instead of starting them off in a positive. You know, even when it comes to kids graduating from school and going to post-secondary, by the time they've graduated post-secondary, they're tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. How is that a way to actually start off your adult life?
I'd like to bring us back to the theme of healthcare. And there have been several deaths recently in Northumberland due to opioid overdoses. And the police are very worried, as are many agencies. What is your party prepared to do about this local and national crisis?
It is absolutely a crisis, and it's something that needs to be addressed. It's been going on for so long, and we haven't seen anything positive being done about it. Like, it's definitely something that we're hearing people talk about, but we're not seeing any actual changes. And that's something we need to be able to provide help for people so that they can have the opportunity to, you know, get clean, to be able to get their lives back in order. And a huge part of the opioid crisis, you know, comes back to, at the very root of it, mental health. It comes back to poverty. It comes back to, you know, the inability to find somewhere to live, the inability to find a good job. All of these things are things that can crush down on a person and make them feel like, what's the difference? And it's definitely something that we need to be able to help with. And first and foremost, we need to get the ability for people to get into somewhere to get cleaned up and to help themselves move forward. And then we need to address those root causes to help eradicate the problem as a whole.
Moving on, if I'm a business owner in Northumberland, and I might be very nervous about voting for the NDP since it's always associated with unions and working people, how can you convince me that the NDP will not hurt my business and help me, especially as we slowly emerge from the pandemic?
There's a few different ways that we really want to help small businesses. Small businesses are suffering right now. You know, throughout the pandemic, as we were having lockdowns, there was a lot of people that, unfortunately, were put in the position where they had to close their small businesses where the, you know, the big box stores were being allowed to stay open. And that's really negatively impacted their businesses. So we do have a number of plans in place to help small businesses be able to get back up on their feet. So we're going to be continuing wage and rent subsidies during this time while they're getting back up on their feet and getting fully reopened again so that they're at full access again. We want to put into place long-term hiring bonuses. So basically we'll be covering the costs of EI and CPP when they're hiring so that they can bring employees into the businesses. Capping credit card merchant fees. Credit card merchant fees are incredibly high. And when you're a big corporation, you have a lot more ability to be able to negotiate those costs down. But as a small business, you don't have that backup to be able to negotiate those fees down. So putting a cap on those so that you're not being overcharged when your customers are using, for example, Interact credit card, tap, that sort of thing. So that's a big part of it as well, is trying to help cap those.
But one of the things your platform proposes is these supports for hiring people. And you've mentioned some of them. And, you know, when you go around the county, drive around anywhere in the county, all kinds of signs up saying we're hiring, we're hiring, we're hiring. Yet many times these jobs end up being part-time or precarious positions with no benefits. And people have to find, as you talked about in your own experience, two or more jobs just to pay the rent, to eat, to get around. What is the way your party is proposing to move the economy away from precarious labor and towards more full-time jobs with benefits and living wages?
And there's definitely a couple of different factors that are going to help with that. So when you have something in place like PharmaCare, for example, that's going to make the cost of benefits for your employees quite a bit lower, because the drug plan doesn't have to be covered by that. So that's going to make a big difference. That's some savings in the business's pockets. And businesses are more able to offer better benefit packages or offer benefit packages at all if they haven't been able to previously, because the cost has been lowered by taking the drug plan out of that. So that's part of it. A lot of it as well is just putting forth incentives for businesses to be hiring full-time. So, you know, we're able to offer specific incentives when it comes to taxes, specific incentives when it comes to subsidies to encourage people to be hiring full-time employees instead of multiple part-time employees so that people do have a less precarious position. They know that their job is safe and they know that they're going to be able to earn a living wage.
Earlier on in our conversation, we talked about the current political climate, and I'd like to talk to you about that now. What was your reaction to the rally held when Justin Trudeau did a campaign stop on August 17th, where there were protesters swearing at him, yelling obscenities, and being physically and vocally aggressive?
That was very, very disappointing. As much as I don't agree with a lot of the Liberal Party's policies, and as much as I don't agree with a lot of what Justin Trudeau has done, he is still our prime minister. You know, treating people with respect is and should be part of who we are as people. There's definitely ways that you can protest and make your voice heard without being vulgar and without being ignorant. And I don't think that's unfortunately what we saw that day. And that's not to say that the protesters shouldn't have been there. Absolutely, they should have been there. But there's definitely a way I think that they could have approached it that would have gotten a better result. And it makes it a bit too easy as well when you're coming at somebody like that and you're swearing at them and you're being so negative towards them, it's very easy for them to just ignore you because of the way that you've come across, because it's easy to ignore someone who's swearing at you. If you're coming at them with, you know, a specific statement in mind and doing it in a way that's not so negative, it's much more difficult for them to ignore what you're saying. And it puts them in a position where they have to address what you're saying, or else they look like they're being negative.
There is so much division in politics today and the use of wedge issues. It does not feel like we are a unified country despite the rhetoric. Can you say something positive about the current MP, Philip Lawrence, and the others that you're running against?
Absolutely. One of the things that I feel very strongly about is negative campaigning. I am not a fan of negative campaigning. I want to be able to tell people about what I'm going to be able to do to help and not, you know, put down others to try and boost up my place in the election. And, you know, Mr. Lawrence has been in place for a couple of years now, and I'm sure he was doing his very best to try and help the residents of Northumberland during the COVID crisis. And unfortunately, I don't know a whole lot about my Liberal opponent, other than, you know, what I've read. As far as I can see, everybody that's running locally, you know, they're very good people. They, you know, their hearts are in the right place. I just don't think I necessarily agree with their party's stances. Obviously, they feel differently or they wouldn't be running for their parties. But we have a fundamental difference in how we see change and how we see things going forward to improve lives for Canadians.
What has it been like on the campaign trail? What are people saying to you? And in particular, with all the heat, what has it been like?
It's been very unique in a lot of ways. So, I mean, number one, of course, there's been a lot more virtual conversations than there has been in-person conversations, because people are still very hesitant to get too close and to, you know, still a lot of social distancing, which is a good thing. You know, we want to be as careful as possible. So it's definitely been unique in the way that I haven't been able to get out and just, you know, talk to people the way that you normally would in a campaign. But a lot of people have been, you know, expressing frustration at the fact that we are having an election, but open to listening to what the party has to offer, you know, what changes we want to make and that sort of thing. But yeah, I would say probably the main things that I've been hearing is, why now? and then just, you know, like you said, it's been incredibly hot. So I think a lot of people have just been avoiding the outdoors as much as humanly possible as well, which has given me the opportunity to talk to a lot more people virtually because nobody wants to leave the house.
Kim MacArthur Jackson, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That was Kim MacArthur Jackson, candidate for the NDP. Remember, you can hear the full interviews with bonus material on my website at www.consider-this.ca. That's www.consider-this.ca. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.